Episode 131, BulaNetwork.com. Hey kids, welcome to another episode of BulaNetwork.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. City of origin is Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Today is Friday, May the 25th, 2012. I wonder how many tabs you can have open in Chrome, the browser. Do you leave tabs open, like a lot of tabs open? I mean, even when you close it and then reopen it and you leave all the tabs. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. I have 29 tabs open. I have lost my mind. I've gone tab crazy. No, I'm not going to talk to you about tabs, but I do want to talk to you about aha moments. You know those moments. You don't have them very often, but when you do, pretty terrific, aren't they? Wish I could play a guitar like that. Actually, I wish I could just play a guitar, period. It'd be a start. You kind of have to know how to play a guitar in order to play a guitar like that. I hope you've had a good week. As we go into the weekend, Memorial Day weekend, big weekend. What do we have? We got the Indy 500 on Monday. As I sit here tonight in the Yellow Studio, we've got hockey, New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils playing for a spot in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Los Angeles Kings, they're in. So we've got the big market on the West Coast, and we're fixing to have a big market on the East Coast representing. So I'm sure the NHL is quite pleased about that, as all of us in the middle and those of you north of the border, we're all left out in the cold. It's not so much cold. 94 degrees today here in Dallas-Fort Worth. We are probably, 5 degrees or so above normal for this time of year. Hot already. But let's dive into it. Aha moments. I think about this frequently, especially as I'm reading books and blog posts and content. Content is king. And I have thought for years, long before the internet came along, because I love to read, but I've long lamented the fact that you can invest in a book, you buy the book, but that probably isn't the biggest investment. The biggest investment is now you got to take the time to read it. And you read it and, okay, it seems okay. And maybe it's kind of slow and it's dragging. And I'm a voracious business book kind of a reader. I can be a self-help junkie at times as well. And you get an hour into it and it's just not happening. I paid $20 for the book. So you're $20 and an hour in. And what do you do? If you're like me, you keep slogging, man, keep moving forward. And occasionally, I don't mean every time and I don't mean once in a while, I mean more like once in a blue moon, you do have kind of an aha moment when it comes to information or something that you think, man, that's terrific. That's good to know. That's good stuff. But more often than not so much. we usually think about aha moments when we think about our own personal, you know, quest, and we, it could be in so many different things. It could be really in any endeavor or activity that we undertake. It could be a young athlete who's trying to learn how to do something. You know, right now they've been really here in Dallas and on the NFL network, they've been really scrutinizing the players that got drafted by teams in the NFL draft in the recent past, and particularly quarterbacks. And they talk about, okay, the quarterback, here's what he does with his feet. Here's what he does with his arm, you know, dissecting the mechanics of this athlete. And I'm sure that these athletes, they can have these aha moments where things just click. Well, I mentioned playing guitar. I'm sure there is this pivotal moment. I have no idea what it feels like because I've never reached this point. But I'm sure there is a point where we get away from the mechanical and we're thinking and everything is very conscious to it just feels better. It just feels more right. Is there some specific moment in time as you're learning to play the guitar, or as you're learning to play a position, or as you're learning some skill, whether it's physical or something else, if you're learning to write PHP code, pick something. Is there this moment of aha? You remember being in school and you had homework and maybe you had math and there was some particular thing about math that you just did not understand, you just did not get, and maybe you sat down with a teacher, maybe you sat down with mom or dad, maybe you sat down with an uncle or somebody that had more knowledge than all the rest of the people you knew about that math, and they said, well, now here's how it works, and you, oh yeah, okay, I get it. It's that kind of I get it moment. That's aha. Is it Steve Farber? I think it's Steve Farber who, he had another moniker for it. He called it the OSM. You can fill in the blank and figure out what the S stands for, but it was an OS moment. And that's the aha. Well, kind of, sort of, it's the aha. It's probably what that ski jumper who jumps off of those big, scary, you know, jumps. I mean, you have to do that for the first time, sometime. You have to jump out of a plane if you're going to skydive. There has to be a time that was your first. I don't know that those are aha. Those were probably definitely what Mr. Farber calls OSMs. I don't know that they're all the same. I really don't. I don't think they are. I think just pure panic and fear can overcome us, and that becomes what Mr. Farber's talking about. I'm talking more about this moment of clarity, this moment of, I get it. I get it. It that makes sense to me, or that's profound for me. And it's not that it's profound for everybody, but it might just be profound for you at that moment in time. I'd love to tell you that I've had this wisdom all of my life, but I haven't, because it's been only in recent years that with the help of some other people, it did begin to dawn on me. And I'll use this as a subtle illustration of an aha. And I don't know of a specific time, mind you, but over a period of time, I did have this aha revelation, this aha clarity, in that I understood timing makes a difference when it comes to communication. It just does. I mean, sometimes, well, it's the reason that marketers advertise. It's the reason that marketers market. I mean, would that we could just do it one time and be done with it. Wouldn't that be terrific? But we can't. And the reason we can't is we don't know when people are coming into or exiting out of the market. For nearly 40 years, I have used the illustration of a flat tire. Somebody somewhere got up this morning on Friday morning, May the 25th, 2012, with no concern at all about tires. They didn't think about tires. But on their way to work, they had a blowout, they hit a nail, they had a flat, and now guess what they're thinking about? Yeah, tires. Well, they weren't thinking about tires at all 10 minutes ago, and now what are they doing? They're scurrying around the internet or calling family or friends. They got to get a tire or more. They just now came into the market because this event changed everything for them. It changed their priorities. It changed what they were preoccupied with. It changed their pain. It changed what they needed. It changed what they wanted. And now it's all about a tire. But we ran an ad in the newspaper yesterday. We didn't run it today. We missed them. Our timing was bad. Well, how do you know when somebody's going to have a flat? You don't. So what do? You advertise and you advertise and you advertise and you keep advertising. And why do you do this? You do this so that the people that are in the market that particular time know about you, and you do it so that when people do get to a point where they're in the market, maybe they'll remember having seen your ad a gazillion times. There's a big problem. This costs a huge amount of money. But for me, the aha moment was, I've always known that, but now apply that to a lot of other things in life, to a lot of other forms of communication, and that there are people that can be receptive to a message today, and yesterday they weren't receptive at all. There could be somebody, if you've been in sales and marketing, you know this is true. You can have a conversation with somebody and they can seem so disinterested, and you write them off. For you, they are a dead lead. I've had this happen to me. 60 days pass, and all of a sudden you get an email. Hey, was thinking about you. We've resurrected the program. We'd love to get together with you. And within 48 to 72 hours, you've closed a deal. It was dead. You had it dead. It's like, what happened here? I mean, did they just suddenly fall off a truck and come to their senses and realize that I'm terrific and wonderful and they need to do business with me? No, mark it down. Something changed. But I've had it happen on the other hand. Oh, we're hot to trot. We're ready to go. Well, you know, we want to rock and roll. How quickly can we do this? And you can't bring this thing to fruition for all the tea in China. It just is not happening. They're saying all the right things, but they're not paying you anything. You know, you can't close the deal. So my aha moment was, over the last number of years, coming to the realization that timing is just, you can't predict it. And people, there's a power in repetitive communication. There's a power in all of us in sales and marketing, and who among us isn't, of just constantly staying out there and constantly staying at it, because the person that says no to you today might be saying no because they're not ready, and they might be ready 60 days from now. They may not be, but they might be. Any of us who've had any, you know, strong experience in sales and marketing can attest to the fact that there are people that we've long, long written off, and they come out of the blue at us, and they basically close themselves. And other people that they're just what we call a lay down, right? I mean, it's going to happen. It's a given. They're going to do this. And 6 months later, we're like, we don't know if we're ever going to close this deal. So that was one aha moment for me, that timing, and I instinctively and intuitively and experience-wise, I had known this, but I hadn't really thought about it. And it's true in your interpersonal relationships and other relationships. They're just, not everybody is ready to hear the message at the same time. And so we just kind of keep on plugging away at it. When it comes to consuming information, though, let's talk about that, because that's the elephant in the room here in this internet age that we live in. Whether it's a blog post or a podcast or a video or anything else, we need to make the content. Well, it's just got to be spectacular. I have found, here's another aha moment that I've come to. It's as though that the more you tell people that this is going to be great and wonderful and valuable, and if that's all you do, people tend to believe it. Have you noticed that? That's an aha moment for me. That a person, this is absolutely true now. And I have downloaded, I have recorded some webinars to just prove it to myself. This is going to be packed with information. You guys are going to want to take notes on this. It's going to be spectacular. We really just want to deliver you a lot of valuable content. You're going to find it remarkable. It's going to be crazy good. Blah, 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 blah. 50 minutes go by. And at the end, there's now we're making this offer. And then you go to the landing page. And yes, there's the big countdown timer that is so infamous. And if you're like me, you are a note taker. I'm a voracious note taker. And you realize that you've got nothing. You've got a blank piece of paper. They've spent more time telling you that their content is going to be spectacular that I missed the content. I have no idea. I went into brain fog. Something happened. I'm sure there were some. So I've downloaded these. I've recorded them. I've played them back. I've done this. I will confess to you. I have done this on at least 20 different occasions over the course of the last 3 years. Free webinars that, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to talk about this. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be anything. I would give you some illustrations, but for the sake of being polite, I won't. You've been on those. You've been on those kind of webinars. And then you just, on the landing page, they sometimes have comments open and you just see comment after, oh, terrific. It's just, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, my aha moment is somebody here is missing it. It could be me. Admittedly, it could be me. It could be that there was something spectacular there. And so I don't do it so much anymore, but early on, 2 or 3 years ago, I would play these back and I would kind of scrub through them to, can I find one? I mean, what did they say? Other than they bragged on themselves, they nearly broke their hand, patting themselves on the back about how spectacular this is going to be. Oh, you guys are going to find this so valuable. This is going to be so remarkable. And line up the lemmings. Come on, lemmings. That was an aha moment for me. It was an aha moment that part of the current age of self-promotion is if you tell people enough, if you tell them consistently enough over time how great and wonderful it is, they will believe it. Not all of them, but a large percentage of them will believe it. No, I haven't had an aha enough moment to do that, mind you. I can't bring myself to do that. And I'm not saying that people don't produce some good content. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that every webinar is like that. I'm not saying every blog post is like that. I'm not saying every podcast is like that. But come on, who's kidding who? Are we really to believe that every blog post that every blogger writes, every podcast that every podcaster, you know, produces, it is spectacular. It is cream de la cream. Come on. And no, it's not. I'm friends with a guy down in Houston, Daniel Clark. And I like him. I've never met him except online. And, it was today. I need to find this because it was just pretty funny. He posted this on Facebook somewhere. If I can find him, he had done, and I hadn't listened to it yet. I haven't listened to the blog post. He does some affiliate marketing and stuff. And he does some things. He does some things in spaces that I admit I don't have a lot of interest, but I find him very likable. I find him very credible. And And I think he's a good guy. Yeah, he posted today. You can find him at QAQN.com. He posts on Facebook. This was way early in the day. "You guys are all opening my eyes about this episode. I don't know if there was something in my water yesterday or what, but I think we need a do-over. Think Tank was not without a few flaws, many my own hang-ups." In parentheses, he puts the bikini discussion. I don't know what that is. "But if the overall impression you're all getting is that we had a lousy time and Think Tank sucked, that's not at all how I feel about it. If podcasters are allowed one train wreck of a show, this might be mine. Share Cell Think Tank 2012 recap." And it's from his podcast, Inside Internet Marketing, episode 45. You can find that over at QAQN. Now, I haven't gone and listened to it, and it could be it's all tongue in cheek. It could be that it's, you know, clever copywriting on Daniel's part to get people to click. I haven't yet, but I read it and I remembered it. So I'm telling you about it. So it worked. But, you know, and it's one thing that I like about him. I laughed out loud some weeks ago. He had a podcast, you know, a weight loss podcast, and he made some comment in social media that, you know, he was going to discontinue it because how many times can you listen to a podcast about weight loss and hear the show host report that he's gained weight? And I admittedly laughed out loud. I thought it was funny, and I sent him a note saying so. I just the point is, whether it's Daniel, whether it's me, whether it's any of us who are in this genre known as podcasting, everything that we record, everything that we say is going to be just gold. Of course not. You know, I mean, who among us is that pompous? Well, there might be some, but Daniel's not one of them. I'm not one of them. And there are plenty of other people that I don't think are either. Can content be good and can content be valuable? Does content have to provide an aha moment? No. And there's the rub. I think there is the reason that we produce this content. There's the reason that we read the blog posts. There's the reason that we read the books. There's the reason that we listen to the podcast. There's the reason that we watch the YouTube videos. Could it be? It is for me. Could it be that it's worth sifting through all of this stuff that everyone wants to say is greatness? It's not. But is it worth muddling through some of this stuff? Yes. And I've just given you one reason, and that's because timing. Not everybody is receptive to hearing the message at the same time. And so when I say something and somebody else says it in a different way, well, let me pick on Daniel, you know, my internet-based friend. Daniel might say something in a way that I wouldn't, and that might resonate with you. And I might say it in a different way, and it might resonate with somebody else. But then again, we both probably have people that hate us both. So, but for somebody out there, there might be that aha moment. There might be that, yeah, that makes sense. I get that. And it might be that one little piece of information upon which we can build something. I'm not saying it's all life-changing. Is every piece of information you've ever gotten, is it all life-changing? In the cumulative sense, it could be. But in the sense of that one specific thing, probably not. Probably not. Is this podcast going to change your world? Am I going to rock your world? Not likely. But I might have some role to play. There may be some small contribution that I can make. There may be something that happens in the telling of stories and in the, you know, talking about experiences and in passing on whatever it is I have to pass on that may bring for you an aha moment. And it may not, it may happen once every 100 episodes. Well, let's hope it happens a little more frequently than that. But it's why we continue to consume. It's why we find it very difficult, I think, to get on an information diet, because we might miss it. We might miss reading it, hearing it, watching it at the time when we need it the most, at the time when it would do us the most good. And how are you going to know? Well, you're not. So we keep on producing content. We keep on doing shows, kids. We keep on writing. We keep on recording. We all do. We keep on sharing. There may be somebody that's listening to me today for the very first time. Hey, if that's you, man, kudos to you for being, no, thanks. Just thanks. I greatly appreciate it. I've told you time and again, I know that your time is valuable. I don't know about other people, but I would dare say that the majority of us out here doing this stuff, we don't set out to waste people's time. We're not trying to waste people's time. I would say for the most part, we probably all would confess that we're really wanting to be inspirational to somebody. We all really want to be an encouragement to somebody. We all want to try to teach somebody, help somebody, maybe help somebody learn something they didn't know before, maybe remind them of some things that they just forgot they knew. It's not that any of us are geniuses or anything. Well, some of us are. No, I'm not in that group. I hope you're smarter for having listened, not just to me, but to a number of people. I look around the Yellow Studio and I've got just tons of books and information. I'm surrounded by information all the time, and I'm better for it. I've got to feel like I'm better even for having read the bad books, you know? It's a little bit like having a bad teacher or working for a bad boss. I got news for you, man. When I was very young and I had bad bosses, and I've had bad bosses, when I became a boss, I was a significantly better boss for having had bad bosses. Yeah, it's that age-old thing. I learned how not to do it. So there is value in bad and good. So not all content just has to be spectacularly great for us to benefit. I know people that are writers, and admittedly, I think they'd be the first to tell you they learn better by reading good writing, but they've also learned, you know, some horrible things that really bad writers do. Writers who get published. So, in some cases, I know some people who've been inspired because they're like, man, you know, this got published. Surely I can get published. And of course, today it's all changed. I mean, today, nobody even, who cares about being published? Go publish the thing yourself and make a lot more money and everything else. But we all learn. We all learn, and we all can have an aha moment even in the midst of bad stuff. So, hey, keep listening, keep reading, keep learning, keep growing. I did a video not long ago about, you know, lifelong learning definitely makes us better lifelong teachers. And it's not just a trite phrase. I firmly believe it. I hope you are on a quest of lifelong learning. I also hope you're on a quest of lifelong teaching. I mean, what's the point of learning it if you're not going to pass it on? Hey, the website is BulaNetwork.com. I hope you will subscribe to the podcast. I further hope that you will go over to iTunes and you'll leave me a review. So you can do me those two pieces of favor. I also hope that you have a great Memorial Day weekend. I don't know when I'm going to release this, but it'll come out shortly. So all the best to you and to yours. Be safe. Have fun. Lord willing, I will see you next week. June is just around the corner. BulaNetwork.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is the Yellow Studio.